I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble in association with Capital One, the credit card that supports the supporters, and it's the review show, not the preview show, of course. Yeah, we just did that a few days ago. It's the review show of the first leg of the semi-finals of the Capital One Cup. My goodness, one of them is nicely poised, the other is not. We'll come on to that in a minute. But if you were Moyes or Allardyce, how would you motivate the players for the second leg, Pete?
I would try and deceive them into getting into the next round, like trick them into being either good footballers or, at a push, maybe just getting a dog on the pitch and then going, Fenton, Fenton, and then everyone will be distracted by Fenton and then you run and score a goal.
Like a sort of live viral.
Yeah. Are you genuinely referencing a meme from 18 months ago?
Yes, yes, I am. Okay. They're usually the ones that you're watching now.
No, exactly, because I've never heard of it.
So presumably...
Sounds funny.
So presumably you're taking on the role of Moyes there because you just scored a goal, and that would be good enough, I think, after extra time.
Or maybe you could just enchant them with memes. You could try and bite someone's finger.
Yeah.
You could do an animation about a cat. I'm trying to think what the top 10 videos are.
Cat versus printer, that's one of them, I think.
That's one, yeah.
Cat versus printer, you could do Moyes versus Januzaj. One could play the printer, one could play the cat. Up to you.
Well, there's also the Jurassic Park melodica theme tune. Yep. So someone could play This Is the One on a melodica as the teams come out to reference that.
Mm. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. No, you don't.
No, I actually do. But I mean, presumably the role of, you know, David Moyes will have an easier job motivating his players for the second leg rather than Sam.
You say that. You say that.
I do.
I would go for David Moyes needs to. I mean, Sam Allardyce is beyond help. I'm not going to touch that. David Moyes needs to bite the bullet, so to speak, and realise that it's not working out. So he does really need to somehow convince them that David Moyes is taking a sabbatical and Ferguson is back.
Sir Alex Ferguson suit.
Yeah, by basically mask. He's got the same voice. All he's got to do is just sprinkle a couple of... there's no question about that. In things he says.
Get one of those, you know, those fem skins that were on Channel 4 recently?
Yep.
Alex Ferguson
that
fem
could work.
Skin.
That could work. Also, if he manages to convince not only the players but the officials, he'll probably get more injury time as well, which could be helpful.
And Ferguson's always there anyway, so he could just tell the players, look, Ferguson's back managing this game, but he picked up a touchline ban that just was never reported. So he's going to be running everything through me and just do everything he says through me, okay?
They should have said that when he retired.
Yeah.
Just never say, don't say anything. Oh, no, I've got a ban, so he's literally, I'll get David in to assist me.
He's literally gone upstairs.
So my answer is, my serious and wholly worth thinking about answer is David Moyes must become Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, okay.
You must become all the things you hate, Luke. Etc.
You'd be surprised about the time I've heard that.
But he always delivers when given that challenge.
More things other people hate.
Yeah.
Sign another Fellaini.
That society hates as well. Jim.
What I would do is I would, in Moyes' position, because again, there's no point going near Big Sam, I would get all of the Manchester United players gathered around and I would make Ryan Giggs move into the centre of the circle of players, and I'd point at them and go, look at that man, that's Ryan Giggs there. This is probably his last season. Do you really want it to be this? Because look at what you are tarnishing.
He was once a proud man.
He's broken.
Get him to do a little tear.
Exactly, a little Giggsy tear. I'm sure he's cried some crocodile tears in the past.
A Giggsy tear.
Or show them all the Giggs pig farmer. Not pig farmer, the Giggs Reebok advert from back in the day.
Oh, hang on, how have you got...
No, Schmeichel was the pig
farmer.
Schmeichel was the pig farmer.
Yeah, he was, right.
Advert. And Giggs was something else.
There's no better bacon.
Exactly, yeah. show him that. Say that this is what could have become of Ryan Giggs, as the documentary shows.
Yeah.
And motivate them.
Stop making it happen.
Yeah. Anyway, it's your answer, not mine.
Yeah. Well, that's what I would do. Try and motivate them to give Giggs a winning send off because, you know, I don't know that they're going to win anything else.
Yeah. Okay. It's the most realistic that we've had so far, I think.
That doesn't say that much, though.
No, it really doesn't. Point at a man.
Has Giggs had his testimonial? No, he hasn't, has he?
How many? He's had about three.
But will he have another one at the end of the season?
If he wants.
Because that'll be the best game Manchester United fans see at the end.
Well, they should make the semi his testimonial.
No, that
would really pump him up. Yeah. And then you could bring other players in, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure that, you know, the cup would be fine with that as well.
Yeah, definitely. I'm disappointed that you've all ducked the role of Allardyce in this question. Mm. I haven't.
Okay.
I would step into Sam Allardyce's shoes and I think, my goodness, we need a big score. And I would look through results from this season and which teams have scored a few goals quite incredibly. And one result that would stick out, I forget the opposition, was Police Machine.
Yes.
Knocking 76 past that side in the Nigerian League. And I think, right, I need to employ them.
Couple of loan moves?
Yeah. Short-term basis.
Yeah.
And they would help me scheme my way through and motivate their players in the way that they must have motivated their own and very much demotivated the opposition as well. So get some people from Police Machine over. Mm.
Can I be the first person to just say that I would absolutely love it if in the second leg... Mm. West Ham win, go 7-0 up, but City score a long away goal. Yeah.
I don't know if West Ham have got 7 goals left in them this season. But they don't want to be wasting them all
true,
in one game.
That's true, yeah.
I think Jim's got the points. Based on realism, I'm afraid.
Pointing at a man.
Yeah.
Based on realism.
The new album from Marcus Speller.
Marcus Speller, based on realism. Inspired by a true chap. Now, Sunderland beat Manchester United 2-1. This is the one that's nicely poised, ladies and gentlemen.
This is the one.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good win for Sunderland. But Manchester United, they didn't show too much of an attacking threat, did they?
Why don't away fans genuinely sing, "This is 2-1, when they're 2-1 up at Old Trafford? They should.
Yeah, they should.
Mm. Yeah. Throw it back in their faces. Honest, you waited long enough, fans of other teams. Throw it back in their faces.
Maybe they just haven't had the opportunity that often.
Well, I was going to say, off the top of my head, it was only Swansea, wasn't it? And that was right at the end of the match. And they were all probably...
Quick, get it in there. Squeeze it in. More injury time. Yeah. Want to get this song in.
Yeah, that'd be an irony, wouldn't it? The away team wanted more injury time to fit in the song.
But it was an interesting game. I mean, it always is interesting when...
Sunderland play Manchester United
When a big team don't perhaps perform as well as you think they're going to, and you think we've got a game on there, and we certainly did have that.
Yeah, we did. They went 1-0 up, of course, Sunderland. And you did sort of think to yourself, where are the goals going to come from Manchester United? I mean, Giggs scored an own one.
Wait, I mean, does anything represent a crumbling empire more than Ryan Giggs scoring an own goal?
No.
It's a lovely symbolism in that.
I was a bit perplexed around preparing for this show, trying to find sort of any United players to come out to sort of praise, I suppose. I mean, you praise Januzaj, who always seems to apply himself pretty well.
And very direct, always trying to make stuff happen, Januzaj.
It says a lot for a team, though. I mean, may not, obviously, look, we've got to get this into perspective. David Moyes has just been nominated for manager in the month of December. You know, they won a lot of games in December.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as we're sort of making it out for, sort of, I suppose, comedy purposes. But Januzaj, at times, looks like the only player really holding a torch to the great Man United players of the park. And you think, he's only 18. Something's got to be awry there. Mm. And I think the only two players really that came out of any sort of big credit in this game were Vidic, who was, you know, was pretty decent while everything sort of seemed to crumble around him, and Januzaj. And I thought, to give an example, I thought Raphael was really poor. And an example of that would be the first Sunderland goal where you see the ball come across from a set piece. I mean, you guys know, you know, we've all played football, you know, not at the highest level or anything, but the principles are the same. If you're a defender and the ball's in the air for that long, it's absolutely no excuse to let go of your head.
Yeah.
You've got such a long time to position yourself to head it away. I know he's only a fullback and they're not known for their heading qualities or anything, but you've got to take care of that ball. You can't be caught under the ball in your own penalty area. It's such a schoolboy error, it really is. And then that obviously caused Giggs to score the own goal. It wasn't really his fault, was it?
No,
he had to slide
it would have gone in anyway.
So, and that really did set the stall out for United, I thought. I thought they were, you know, overall pretty poor.
It's just weird to see that a lot of fringe players not really being that interested in sort of starring in the side at all.
Yeah.
Possibly because the first team isn't all that at the moment. Sorry, I don't want to get blamed for all this.
It's not my fault. I don't really know who their first team is. Rooney and...
But you got Evra trying to smash in goals from like 25 yards. If Evra is trying to score from 25 yards, it's like there's no hope really.
It makes me wonder about the Evra thing because I think I might have mentioned it on an earlier show.
Well, they're after a left back.
Yeah, and Evra's really popular at United. He seems to be anyway. And maybe his best years are behind him, but he's still a good player. He's been unsettled by the whole talk of Baines as well.
It could be. It's an easy one for the media to latch onto that he's trying to get Baines. I think he did try to sign Baines. But I don't know how much they've pursued that, to be perfectly honest with you. Seems like an easy one. But Welbeck is the one who you thought, he's done fairly well. He's scored a few goals this season. And I rate Welbeck, and I think he's played well for England as well. But without the support, he's the type of striker that can go a little bit without chances and whatnot. You wouldn't imagine him conjuring up something.
No, he's not the player that's going to just sort of nip in behind a defender and make something out of nothing, is he? But I think it is worth noting that they're missing Rooney and Van Persie.
No, absolutely.
They're two best players. Any team would struggle in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, if Suarez... obviously Liverpool went without Suarez... for a large part, and then they are with Sturridge. But if they lost both of them, certainly would show.
Well, I think I know you're not criticising Welbeck directly, but just to leap into his defence anyway, I think he looked very isolated. And I think my opinion, the reason for that is that, as you guys say, they're missing Rooney, who fits in that role behind him nicely, but they play Giggs there. Now, Giggs doesn't have the legs to play there anymore. Giggs' best performance of this season have been where he's just in front of the back four, just doing that sort of... there's not too much arsed of his 40-year-old legs, and he can do that stuff he's still got quality with.
Well, he did that in the Champions League final.
But he can't do that playing the hole. If it were me, I don't see what Cleverley offers in that role, so I would move Giggs back there and just play Kagawa in there.
I'd play Kagawa, or I would put Cleverley in that advanced position, which I believe is his preferred position.
Right.
I think that a lot's been asked of Cleverley this
season. He's getting a lot of stick from United fans. He seems to be the lightning rod.
Yeah, I feel a little bit sorry for Cleverley because it wasn't like he's gone around and told everybody that he's this Satan saviour of the club. But he's been asked to play a big role in that centre midfield position, whereas actually his preferred position, if you remember England versus Ukraine at home in the World Cup qualifiers, he was playing in advanced position with two defenders behind him. And he did okay that day. He certainly looked a bit more like the player that we all hope that he will become.
I just don't think he's good enough. I think his confidence is low at the moment. It might be linked to that. With him and Carrick in there, I just think Carrick needs to be able to... We all know what Carrick's strengths are. His range of passing is good. But he's also a lot better when he's got the option of being able to give the ball to someone who can properly use it. And I don't know if he cleverly offers that, really. I thought that the Man United fans were amazing, by the way.
Yeah, they were.
Away from home. And they stuck behind Moyes the whole game. They were really loud. I thought they were decent. I also thought on just to credit some Sunderland players. I thought Sebastian Larsson was really good.
Yeah.
If he could be more consistent, I mean, he'd be great. Sometimes I don't know if I'm being unfair or I haven't seen him enough, but sometimes he just seems to not really want to do anything apart from moan and take set pieces.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
When he's good, he's really good. He really does put the work in, I mean, I'll tell you, they draw 0-0 against West Ham in the league. I think they did, and he was excellent that game. He was everywhere in that game. But yeah, so if he can find a bit of consistency, he'll go a long way to sort of keeping him in the division. And I thought Barini was good, and if Barini can stay fit and get a run of games, I think he'll be some player. I really do.
It was nice to see Adam Johnson, certainly the moment where he won the penalty.
Yeah, which I thought was a penalty, by the way.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to say that it wasn't a penalty, but I thought it was. He cleverly basically fouled him with his bum. He stopped him.
he went through his wrong foot, didn't he? For some reason. Yeah,
but he impeded him. I don't think you'll find
waiting for him to get into the penalty area and then tackling with your wrong foot in any textbook. If you are going to bring him down, do it straight away. Yeah. Yeah. Don't wait.
Or at least go through him massively. Don't just go up. Yeah. Oh, get to the side of me. Oh, he's gone down nuts.
But more on Roger Johnson later.
Sunderland did play well. And Barini scored a lovely penalty.
What a penalty!
The commentator said quite an odd thing when that penalty was dispatched. He said, it was... he probably put it a little bit higher than he would have liked, but it was enough to get over De Gea. And I was like, well, De Gea went the wrong way.
Yeah.
And surely, if it goes in, the higher the better.
To a point.
Yeah.
The higher the better, to a point.
Yeah.
That point is very clearly the crossbar.
Yeah.
Yeah, this has been sorted out. This is very much categorised.
That's what the crossbar's
isn't it?
For.
This is an eye line. This is just a line. It's, it's a different line that will stop the ball going in.
Yeah.
And if it's gone over the goalkeeper, it's definitely high enough.
Yeah. And if it's sent him the wrong way. Yeah, he wouldn't have liked to have roofed that as much as he did. But
nice.
Strange.
Yeah, thing to say.
Rod me criticism.
It is a bit, isn't it?
I'm happy it's if I ground a penalty.
Yeah, to get it on target.
To get a daisy cutter. I'm happy.
His celebration was really something.
I don't know what to make of it. He does a sort of hand in the mouth thing.
But he did that sort of double flying kick on the corner.
Yeah, I rate that.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
Amazing. He sort of hung in the air.
Mm. Well, he's a striker. He's going to do that. Yeah, he can get up for headers. He can do that.
Manipulate gravity in many different ways.
Practicing your headers? Nah. Just
hanging in the air.
My corner flag. Just
levitating.
Do some floating.
Sunderland, though, they'll be very encouraged by that. And they'll go to Old Trafford. Manchester United obviously knocked out of another cup competition. And they'll go there and think, blimey, we...
I'm fairly certain I predicted a strong Sunderland performance in this match and then them getting turned over the next match.
I love that you don't know.
I'm fairly certain.
You think you said that. The hands are up.
My brain librarian's just shaking her head going, what?
When I came into the studio, earlier, he was listening back to it just a couple of
times. 4 days ago.
Moyes did say...
He manipulated the edit, all the different words.
Well, this shows you how much Manchester United are struggling. He says that his team, Manchester United, need to play the referees too. It could be a misprint there. But there is rumours of players questioning Moyes.
I read that.
That gag went... misheard their listeners, but I'm sure you've got it. But there is rumours of players in the United camp questioning Moyes and
Moyes, where's the vending machine? It's down there.
But it's
going to happen.
It's a difficult transitional period for them, isn't it? They're always going to be used to playing for the same. Everyone who's played at Man United for the last 20 odd years has played for the same merge.
And there's a lot of footballers in that club that probably don't deserve to wear the jersey as it is. So if he needs to ship some out to get a bit of respect, yeah, I don't have a problem.
And there's
with
a lot of football
there's
to be played.
A lot of football to be played.
A club like Manchester United, it's not good enough, is it? It would be weirder if there wasn't some sort of talk between the manager and the players about what they can do to address the situation. Mm. Presumably they do this at the beginning of every training session anyway, and this is just being blown out of proportion because it's an easy story.
Yeah, I'll tell you what was blown out of proportion was the scoreboard that the Etihad had.
Can I just say, Jim said on the preview show, West Ham will be much more pleased to have the second leg at home. And I said, it doesn't matter if you get beat 6-0 on the first leg.
Yeah, and so it's proven.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but it makes a fair point, because if it had been beaten 6-0 at Upton Park, and then you'd have to go
wait till next week.
No, but if you got beaten 6-0 at Upton Park, then you'd have to go away from home, and you think, oh, what's the point?
I think they thought that anyway.
Maybe West Ham have now got an eye on just not turning up and just taking the 3-0.
Yeah.
Save themselves a game. Yeah. City would probably be happy with it as well.
Oh, so he can't really win now, can he?
He really can't win.
He figuratively and literally can't win. It's a weird one. Like, some of the finishing in that football match was just so incisive.
When you're
in the corner, a little bit wider than you'd have liked, I imagine, as Cook on
That's what happens, though, Pete, when players say, oh, in training they're fantastic and they hit the top corner every time. In a match situation, obviously they're closed down by players and they're pressurised by defenders and all that kind of stuff, and the different pressure with the crowd being there.
They weren't this time.
But that was an example of what players do in training. We're not marked or closed down or anything. Yeah. And I think, you know, that should be a thing in English football. Just ease off on the marking, because the results
just
are beautiful.
Don't have it. Don't worry about man marking or zonal marking.
Yeah, that is the beautiful game.
Just to add further weight to that, all I've heard since the game was that, Man City's finishing was great. And it came from Allardyce, and then people have sort of run with it. Yeah, Man City had 32 shots. You're going to give them that much practice. They're going to get there sooner or later.
It really was training.
Look at the defending for Torres. Good God.
Actually, Luke, I think that was 32 shots on target.
No, I don't think it was. No. you may be right, but from what I read, they had 32 shots, which is up there in their top three or four shots in the game in their history. The most shots they've ever had in a game is when they beat QPR on the last day of the season to win the game and the title.
Okay.
And I think they had north of 40 that game. But I don't think it was on target.
Well, it sounds
ridiculous.
It says something when the goalkeeper, Adrian, actually had a bad game.
It says something, doesn't it?
It's a bit like when I went to see last season Chelsea and Aston Villa, and Chelsea won 8-0. And Guzan had a good game.
Yeah.
And so goodness knows what the scoreline could have been.
Well, the Toure goal, which one of you guys just touched on, I mean, that's in a way, you've got two semi-final first legs there and two crass defensive errors. One much worse than the other, namely Roger Johnson, where, like, at any level of football, you don't do that. I just don't understand. I know his confidence is low and he's been playing at a slightly lower level and I think he's been relegated three seasons in a row or something. Mm.
No wonder he's playing at a lower level.
There's relegation legs.
Yeah, he's a if you're not happy with the lowest level he's playing, just wait a season. He'll be playing at a lower one after that because he gets relegated every season. But I just can't understand how a professional footballer who plays centre-back as his chief position, who's won trophies, I mean, he's won this competition itself before, he sees Yaya Toure, who's a dangerous runner on the ball, running to him sort of midway just inside their half, and he waits till the penalty spot and still doesn't make a tackle. Now, his confidence must be so low that he just doesn't trust himself to make a challenge, which is worrying.
Yeah.
Really worrying, because he wouldn't have... He could have just brought him down 30 yards out. He wouldn't have got sent off. There'd other defenders around.
I was really surprised that he didn't just keep on backing up into the net, to be honest. All the way through talking about virals early on, all I heard was that woman, that viral, backing up.
And Toure had just dribbled it in and they'd have all been in there. Like some sort of ice hockey situation.
It's almost like he was about to knock the keeper out of the way.
Could it perhaps be argued that Roger Johnson is such a fan of football that he's sitting there thinking, this Yaya Toure son plague. Oh, look at that. What a run this is.
What an angle I've got here.
Yeah. Toure probably wouldn't have delayed his shot so long if he didn't think, well, he's got to tackle me at some point. I'm going to shoot when he tackles me. He hasn't tackled me. I'll have a go anyway.
But if Toure's mind worked like a sort of a Terminator or something, as he's getting closer to the goal, his mind is working out the percentages. Got a 50% chance of scoring, 60%, 70%, blah, 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 100 now, bang, thank you.
So odd.
I think as soon as he saw Roger Johnson in front of me, he had 100% chance of scoring.
Yeah, that's a very polite Terminator. Yeah.
One of the other odd things about the game was that they were wearing the reverse of each other's kits, which just made it seem even more like a training match.
Maybe that's what tricked West Ham.
Yeah.
But I was going to say that the whole Roger Johnson thing, which is worth exploring, is that, like, now, Allardyce is short on defensive cover, we know that. I mean, he's overplayed the injury thing. I feel like I'm sort of getting on his back quite a lot recently, but he does sort of make it easier to do that by making silly statements.
Yeah.
And he's talking about loads about how many injuries they've got. And in fairness, like Tompkins, Collins and Winston Reid, who's their best defender, are all out. But there are many teams in the Premier League with loads more injuries than them. Mm. So he obviously wants to get a bit of coverage. So he goes for Roger Johnson, who he knows he can get because obviously Roger Johnson's playing at a lower level. But his experience only is really of being relegated from the top level. So you wonder why Allardyce didn't go after like a young but very talented Premier League defender who can't... So someone like, I don't know, maybe it's a bit ambitious, but for example, the kid Stones from Everton, you know, he's really highly rated. He's come in and played a few times for Everton at centre-back, only 18 or 19, I think. Surely that would be much more preferable to someone who's, with the greatest respect to Roger Johnson, who's shown he can't really cut it at that level, bar about 6 months when he was at Birmingham. So I just find that a really strange thing to do. And really, the way Allardyce is setting up his teams, it was almost like they were resigned to the defeat before. Yeah. Like, same with the Forest thing as well.
It was very untypical of an Allardyce side. There was no real commitment there. Very, very sort of lack of aggression in the defensive tactics. So just letting City... I mean, the Toure goal is a perfect example, the way they're just letting City run through. Like, just run through their defence if they weren't even there.
Was it the first goal? It was just one long ball straight?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a great finish from the Grado, but still, it was absolute route one.
I'll caveat it by saying that, obviously, I've never played against Negredo. No. It's probably a bit of a different kettle of fish. But for me, if I'm playing centre-back for my Sunday team, I want balls up in the air like that all day.
Yeah.
Big ones, straight, high up in the air, all day, because you hoover those up. Mm. It's when they play little tricky ones on the diagonal behind you and use their pace and stuff, you struggle. You should better...
Negredo didn't look like he was going at full pelt. He looked like he was sort of waiting it, sort of going, right, I won't run as fast as I need to run. Just get in front of him, the defender. Don't even look at what he's doing. Just run, block him off, you know.
Yeah. Or at least attack the ball. They didn't tend to do either.
I think that was it for West Ham fans again. Mm. That, you know, if you go to Manchester City and you get beat by a big scoreline, that kind of thing can happen. But it was the manner of the defeat again, and all these reasons, as you say. And Leroy Rosinha made the point on the League Cup show that West Ham only made 9 fouls in the whole game and they had no bookings. Now, they should have all been on bookings. Do you know what I mean, though? Like, it really, as you say, when Toure's running at you, and it's you're already 2-0 down, was it, something like that? Take him down. It's, if 2-0, you're still in the tie.
I think it was like 3-0. I was watching a defender lamp one up the field, and he just stroked it with the resignation of a man, you know, on his way to be hung. You know, it was just kind of like, let's just strike it as hard as I can. And it just smacked of a team so low of confidence,
There's no excuse for applying yourself in that way. Of course, it's completely fair that you get beaten by Manchester City at Manchester City. I mean, better teams than West Ham have done that, and better teams than West Ham will go on to be beaten by them.
Mm. Newcastle have got them on the weekend.
There you go. More on that next week. But I think that there is a problem for me when we've talked about the defensive errors that were made and stuff. And okay, it's a bit of a baptism of fire for Roger Johnson, of course. But a couple of more examples I can give. One is that Diarmé in the middle of the park, who has shown in the past he can be a really good player.
Yeah, he was just overrun. There was a particular tackle.
He didn't get near anyone. He just didn't get near anyone, did he? And it's not good enough.
Just triangles around him.
And Maiga, for example, who I think is a poor player. You know, he's looked a poor player since he's been at West Ham. But the thing was, I know he's isolated. I know it's difficult when you're playing up front like that and you've got Cole and Dan next to you who aren't strikers to part. But, you know, Marcus, you know better than me. Well, the moment you do get the ball near, at least be on your toes. Mm-hmm. At least look for it. At least be ready to spring when you can. He doesn't do that either.
There was no danger of West Ham scoring close to a goal.
For Negredo's hat-trick goal, Guy Demel put the ball out for a corner, and that corner led to that goal. And there was no one around him anywhere. He didn't look. No one said he had time. Like, he just put it out of sheer panic. Like, he had all the time in the world to just bring that down and just pass it anywhere.
And that looks like a player who has not had much instruction at all before they've gone out there. And you got the impression that, you know, it was like some sort of gladiatorial thing. You're in the changing room and you can hear the fans and you know all these great names, and it's like, oh, go out there, lads, and get back in here after the game. You'll be lucky to do so. kind of thing. There was no interest. Yeah. This is the thing that would be the worrying thing for West Ham fans, is they don't look as though they've got a plan at all. They should have set up solely to frustrate Manchester City last night. Mm-hmm. You know,
like Palace did. Get out there with a 1-0. You never know up to par.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And West Ham, you could argue, have got a few more better players than Palace, you could say. Okay, there have been injuries and whatnot. It's just the manner of it.
Mm. And, you know, West Ham aren't the only team that didn't really seem to know what was going on, because Edin Dzeko thought it was 5-0 at the end.
Yeah, I know.
Pellegrini wasn't sure what score they had to get in the Champions League. No one at City seems to know what's going on, yet it's not hindering them in the slightest.
They're behaving like millionaires in every way.
It's like they're not communicating on the pitch at all. They're just connected with some kind of weird footballery lymphatic system.
We'll keep scoring until the referee tells us to stop.
I mean, and they have scored a ridiculous amount of goals. I don't know what the stat is, but it's just ridiculous.
On that Dzeko thing, I'd say that he's probably been the player of this competition so far. Yeah. I think he's scored in every round.
The last goal of the game was beautiful.
But he had a few chances as well, aside from his goals, like where he could have had 3 or 4. He was magnificent.
They could have scored so many goals last night. And on another day, you wonder if they could have got 8, 9, 10, you know. They could have.
Let's not forget my team, Newcastle United, did take them to extra time, so at St. James's Park.
Nice one.
Still went out, though.
I'm sure you'll get
still definitely went out,
for
that. Still definitely went out.
Yeah, but I never forget Big Sam did that surprised me. He got changed at half time.
Where are the priorities?
He changed some traction bottoms at half time. It's like, you've only got 15 minutes at half time. Your team are already losing in the semi final.
So he's probably given his team talk, taking his trousers off.
Or given it quickly and gone and got changed.
He's just thinking, oh, there's no point in shouting any instructions or anything. I'll just sit here and I might as well get comfortable.
Maybe he had them on under his other trousers. We don't know that.
I've got the team talk here. It's in my other trousers. I'm just going to change them in and then I'll do it. All right.
But you know what it's like when you get home from work sometimes and you change it to something a little bit more comfortable? You're thinking, oh, my work's over.
Players have knocked off.
Yeah, exactly. So. We've all, as a collective unit, we've all switched off.
There was some strange commentary in this game as well.
Was there?
It was, again, on the League Cup show. It was, Allardyce doesn't need Andy Carroll to get back into this one. He needs Lewis Carroll, because it's in the realms of fantasy now. And they're just running out of ways to say that West Ham were bad.
I quite like that.
It's involving.
Yeah.
I think they would have been better for Roy Carroll, former Manchester West Ham goalkeeper.
Or they could have said Spurs on loan at QPR midfield Tom Carroll, because he's actually quite a good player.
Well, I was thinking Roy Carroll, because if the ball went over the line, he would scoop it and go, nope, didn't cross.
I don't know how Lewis Carroll could help them there, basically. Right. My conclusion.
But I mean, I think if Sam Allardyce was presented with Lewis Carroll, he would probably say, let me just change my trousers. But yeah, let's give it a go.
Yeah.
What's the worst?
My hands are tied, so I've got to use you. You are Roger Johnson, and it's you.
Yeah. I've chosen Roger Johnson. I sort of wish I'd chosen you.
Let me do another costume change and I'll think it over. I'm very confused.
Have we got some time for some quick correspondence?
Of course we have.
Yeah, we do, yeah. But a quick prediction. So, Manchester City progress, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah, on away goals. On away goals. I'll nick it.
Sunderland, Manchester United. Anyway,
Well, Manchester United's form away from home has been better than their form at home recently.
Yeah.
So I think Sunderland have got every chance. I really do.
I still think it's going to be an all-Manchester final.
It's going to be
a beauty.
I'm going to stick with my prediction of United getting through.
Yeah, we'll agree. Maybe Luke's...
Yeah, I think they'll probably will, yeah.
Okay, give us some correspondence.
Okay, so my correspondence question was fairly straightforward. It was just highlighted the semi-final so far.
Yeah.
Matthew Sieg comes in straight away with Roger Johnson's backpedaling, which we've covered. Brero
still going
three, yeah, he probably is. If you see him, grab him. Brero comes in on the Twitter and says Pellegrini outwitting the tactical genius that is Sam Allardyce.
Indeed.
Of course. And Edin Dzeko forgetting how many goals Man City scored. We touched on that from David Calishaw. John Fitzsimons, who's presumably a West Ham fan, says the final whistle last night. That was my highlight.
I like to think that Adam Johnson's trying to do that backpedal and he's trying to send it wind back his speedometer. Not speedometer, what's the thing on a car where you wind it back?
Yeah. Odometer.
He's trying to get younger.
I'm 23 now.
It's defendometer.
It's defendometer.
If I keep going, I'll go all the way back to the League Cup final a few years ago. Peter James Scott says on the Twitter, seeing Bobby Charlton and Alex Ferguson discussing whether to do a Roman Emperor Pellicci verso to the crowd. Thumbs up.
That was all a bit Game of Thrones, wasn't it? Game of football, maybe.
Richard Cracknell says that Roger Johnson aging by roughly 10 years as the game went on. What we got here on the Facebook? Stuart Adamson, Jerry O'Brien and Dzeko squaring up to each other and the referee just let them get on with it because he couldn't be asked whether he added on time. What we got here? Let's wrap up with this one. Alex Peters on the Facebook says the West Ham players putting more effort into going over to their fans to clap them than they did throughout the whole match.
I hate that when they haven't put a shift in and they go over it. Yep,
leg it over. Yeah.
We don't know that it wasn't sarcastic applause.
I got one more just to round us off through the Twitter from David Hickman. I quite like this one. United's plucky fight back before ultimately being disappointed by a referee who favoured the big teams.
Get them in now, ladies and gentlemen. Get them in now.
Enjoy those digs while you can. And do put hashtag United dig in there as well.
quickly. And make sure, listeners, that you visit facebook.com/Capital One UK, where you can get involved in the competition and the latest debate around the Cup. Of course, the competition that is running on Facebook is the Grounds for Improvement competition, the competition that allows fans to submit a photo of their ground along with an explanation of why it needs improving. And the lucky winner will receive £75,000 worth of improvement and 10 lucky runners-up, rather. Not winners.
Runners-up.
the runners-up. They get generous amounts too. Mm. So there we are, chaps. That's semi-final first leg over with.
Mm.
We'll be back for the second legs on the week commencing the 20th of January, I believe. We will be. And we look forward to it, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Indeed.
Bring it on.
So that was us, the Football Ramble Association with Capital One Cup, the credit card that supports the supporters. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And Jim.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.